Good morning to the latest instalment of the ABM COVID-19 support group support meeting. I'm Gary King. I'm chairing this morning. I'm locked down in sunny Leeds, just on the border of sunny Leeds and Wakefield right now. And I guess this morning's for us just to really kind of understand where we are as mentors and as advisors and what we can be doing to support our clients. My personal view from what I've seen and heard is that a lot of businesses went into initial panic mode. They've hit the brakes hard on. They've stopped spending money. They've cancelled direct debit mandates. They've lost business, and they've gone into immediate panic mode. And then we got this fantastic rescue package that was announced around the COVID business interruption loan scheme and furloughing staff. And I think the reality a couple of weeks later is, whereas that's very commendable, that actually some of that support is difficult to access. There's still no money available for furloughing staff. There's something like only 2,000 out of 300,000 loan applications being paid out. So, the reality is that businesses are in a tough place right now, and they're not certain which way to turn. I personally think we've been through phase one. I think phase one is that initial kind of panic and uncertainty of what next. Phase two, now that panic has subsided a little bit, is right, okay, let's come to terms with where we are. Let's come to terms with what we need to do over the short term and the medium term, both as mentors in our own businesses and when we are mentoring our mentees. Does that make sense to everybody? So we're kind of in that initial second phase now where, as I say, the initial panic's over. We've recognized that we're now in lockdown and that we've had to change and pivot our business model significantly. And we're now starting to get some clarity on what we need to do to survive. This is actually my third webinar this morning as such. I was on one this morning that was run by a couple of people, a couple of executives from Go Cardless. If everybody knows Go Cardless, and they were talking very much around, forensically analyzing your cost base, go through every non-discretionary spend and just really challenge whether you need to be spending it. And they talked about the kind of uncertainty of cash flow forecasting and just being open and honest with any potential funders or investors, because you can't be anything other than honest right now. Nobody's got a crystal ball. So for us as mentors in our businesses and as the mentees that we work with, I think it's about starting to get some clarity on what we need through that kind of next month, the next 3 months, and beyond that. And I think we can only really do this in small kind of baby steps. Certainly for me, it's about understanding, have you got the right business model? Are you analyzing your business model right now in order that you understand where you need to digitalize products, where you've got products that you can deliver via Zoom rather than traditional face-to-face? Have you got assets that you can create? Have you got assets that you can create that you can generate revenue from or use as lead magnets in your marketing? So we should all be working with our clients to help them. A phrase that I've used in the last week is pivot, don't pause. Don't hit the brake button and pause what you're doing. Just take a step back and look at how we can work with our clients to pivot their business models in order to get them back in a slightly different direction, get them back on track for the results that they were expecting only a month ago. So, how can you work with your clients to get them to change their offer? Can you offer a slightly lower priced product to a greater volume of people? Can you restructure what you're doing with your existing clients if they've got some concerns over the kind of future proofing or even the investment levels that they're making with you? So have a think about how you can work with them to change their business models. And I think there's many, many businesses that we work with that are not going to go back to where they were even a month ago. I've worked with a video production company at the moment that have just changed everything they do towards editing products rather than filming products because they can't go out to events and film. And literally, it's taken them 10 days to develop a range of products, get them marketed, get them priced, and get them out there to their existing clients. So they've gone from zero revenue to generating revenue with new products in literally less than 10 days. Now, in an environment where I think communication is going to be key for a lot of businesses over the next couple of months, because I think it is literally going to be a couple of months before the lockdown's fully lifted. And I think even then, it's just going to ease back in. I think there's going to be a phased kind of increase in our access to the outside world. You know, there's a lot of people saying, don't sell, don't market. It's unethical. It's inappropriate. I'm not an advocate of that line of thinking, but what I would say to you, whatever your business is and whatever clients you're working with, is use every opportunity to maximize the touch points that you've got with your current and prospective clients, so that when we come out of this, you are front of mind and your clients are front of mind with their clients. Now, whether that be running webinars, whether it be attending and running events, whether it be online, of course, whether it be using this opportunity to create new marketing assets and new marketing programs, whether it be social media activity, whatever it is, maximize your communication and your touch point in front of your current and prospective contacts in order that you are front of mind and on the tip of their tongue when they do come to spend. And certainly the guys at GoCardless this morning were saying that there will be a big bounce back at some point. A lot of people have stopped spending, and we know all the reasons why. But at some point when we come out of this, there's going to be a big bounce back. You know, pubs are going to be full, restaurants and cinemas are going to be full, football stadiums are going to be full. Whatever it is your marketplace that's suffering right now, there will be a bounce back at some point. So get prepared and get your clients prepared for that bounce back. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, definitely, Gary. I think another thing that our clients and client companies should be looking at is who they can partner with out there. Partnerships or collaborations may not have been top of their agenda, but now I think what this has proven to us, that there is definitely a different way of working, and we do need other people. We do need to trade. We do need to work with our clients and our clients' clients. So go out into the marketplace, go to your customers and say, who provides services that complement yours? Who can you tie in with? Who can you partner with, collaborate with? You know, set up a simple collaboration agreement. I've got a template for a collaboration agreement that is very simple to use. And it's about getting to know each other's companies, but it's got to be someone you trust, somebody that works the same way as you do, somebody that has, you know, the same degree of integrity in your business and working with your clients. But collaborations are a really good way to boost what you do and what your clients do.
Absolutely. It's all about joint ventures and partnerships. Absolutely. And Simon, if that's a document that you've got that can be shared with the rest of the ABM membership, I'm sure that's something we could put on the resource centre in on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
But if I can just tell a story about touch points, just to give you an example about staying front of mind. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give an opportunity to Siobhan Lavelle, who's a communications expert and an ABM member, and she just wants to spend 5 minutes with you sharing some thoughts on how you can maximize your communication capabilities in what is effectively a crisis right now. So I work with a training provider. They take the levy funding that the government take and they use that to provide training and apprentices into a number of sectors. Manufacturing is one, but they do a lot with apprentices and training in the care sector. Now, unlike most colleges that have been stopped from trading, these guys are basically being told you must continue to trade, otherwise you don't get paid. That's how it works in their environment, because they're not a college as such, they're a training provider. Now, they can't go into the care homes. They can deliver some of the training remotely. But what they did in talking to, they've had their business development guy talking to all of their existing customers to say, how's it going? What's going on in your environment? What's working? What isn't working? And you know, what you're really struggling with. And a number of the care homes said that they were struggling to get hold of kind of bread, milk, cheese, eggs, but, you know, for various reasons. So he took it upon himself to go and find a provider of these goods, checked out all the kind of safety as far as, you know, are they all safe? Are they all well? Have they got the stock and the ability to supply? And then he actually set up a process where he could get all of these provisions delivered to his existing clients. Now, he's a training provider. He's not a kind of eggs, milk, cheese, bread provider, but he's actually found a solution and has delivered that solution to them so that when they do come out of this particular scenario, he's going to be front of mind because he's added even more value to those existing clients and contacts. So it's just a touch point where he's added value to stay front of mind. So, you know, I'd implore you all to be considering in your own businesses and in your mentees' businesses how they can increase their touch points and stay front of mind. So without further ado, I'm going to hand
Can I just add on that point, one of the things that I'm finding clients are saying is they're feeling very overwhelmed. And I think what we can do as the mentors is help them see the wood for the trees and see what their sort of their value, their vision and their purpose is. And actually they might have been on sort of, you know, this path, but actually now they're sort of, you know, they still need to get to that vision and purpose. What we can help them do is like navigate the new route and the new path to get there. And I'm finding that sort of, you know, that is what they're needing at the minute, and the bite-sized chunks as well.
Absolutely. And that's our job as mentors, isn't it? To provide clarity and focus in an environment where often a customer's looking at fog.
Yeah. And I think confidence, that, you know, a little bit of sort of, you know, the hand-holding confidence. I think people are feeling very vulnerable and anxious at the moment, and actually having us as mentors can give them that sort of, you know, that confidence to actually sort of, you know, try something new and collaborate and all these, you know, great things.
Yeah. Again, one of the comments that came out of the Go Cardless webinar this morning was, you know, it can be difficult as a business owner when you are overwhelmed and your cash position's looking quite vulnerable, as it will be for many businesses right now, is to not panic and stay calm.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult, to stay calm in an environment where you are in panic mode. But actually staying calm, you're going to get more sensible decisions.
Yeah.
And they said, look, you know, try not to panic, try and stay calm. And if you need to take external counsel from an advisor, and this is where we as mentors and ABM members step into our own, you know, take that wise counsel. And I think it's our job to be that wise counsel and provide that clarity and focus where they are feeling overwhelmed. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good bedfellows, is it, when you want clarity and purpose and you've got stress on the other side?
No. But that's where we can add value, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to hand over to Siobhan for a few moments, who's got, I think you've got a few slides to share with us, Lavon. So good morning to you, Siobhan.
Thanks, Gary. Don't worry, I've been called all sorts of things in my time. So I'm going to try and share my screen, and hopefully you will see some slides that... can everybody see those slides?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So those of you that know me know that, as well as mentoring, I am a career communicator. I have done crisis communications throughout my whole career, and I'm afraid to say I have more than enough experience to draw upon to help people through what we're facing at the moment. I completely agree with Gary that we are going into a new phase now. So what is that? What's the new normal, and how do we help both ourselves and our clients from here? I think it's fair to say that most business leaders, ourselves included, have had a crash course in crisis communications over the last few weeks. Everybody has had to face up to putting in place very operational, practical solutions to this perfect storm of crisis and now change as we're going forward, and this is becoming quite a sustained and kind of long-term situation for us. I think it's really important, and a really important part of crisis communications is to recognize the emotional impact of what's happening, and to draw upon the fact that as leaders, either our clients or ourselves within our businesses, we are likely to be ahead of the curve on this. In terms of, you know, I talk a lot about the Kubler-Ross change curve. I know most people on this call are going to be familiar with that. But that process through this crisis and through the change we're going through, it's really important to recognize that everyone is in a different place. And that has to come through in communications around this. One of the best things to do now is, we are entering a new phase, and it is time to just take a pause and get strategic and look at all the different options that are going to come. None of us have a crystal ball, but we can start planning scenarios about likely things that could happen, and that we can perhaps start to prepare for operationally and from a communications point of view. So one of the first pointers I would say for you, and something that you might share with your clients, is to just think about how your personal brand and your business reputation might be impacted. It's really important now to identify all the opportunities that you can reinforce trust so that people trust you, they trust your business, they trust what you're doing, and they trust that you are doing your best under these difficult circumstances. A good mantra for this is to follow the CARE principles. I'm not going to go into detail, but essentially, show concern, articulate where you're taking action and what that looks like, reassure people, and engage with people. So keep those four principles in mind, and they will really stand you in good stead as you move forward on this. Second point, it's really important to remember and to remind our clients that every operational decision has a communications implication, and that is never stronger than at a time of crisis. You know, we're seeing some really high profile examples of people making decisions and not necessarily appreciating the communications impact and the reputational impact that they're going to have. Our friend Mike Ashley is always a good person for case studies on this sort of thing, but you know, what he needs to do, and what I would advise and encourage everyone to do, is to assign somebody comms leadership. Now, that's a role that somebody within a business can play, or it could be something that you might do as a mentor for your clients, but put somebody in the position of really being the guardian for your communications. Reflect on what's happened so far up to this point. Think about what could be done better going forward. Make sure that you're being consistent. That's essential, that all of your communications outputs are consistent with each other. And really watch and learn what's going on around so that you can learn from the mistakes of people like Mr. Ashley, and make sure that you and your clients are not going to walk into those sorts of pitfalls. So the third point then is stakeholder mapping. So that's always important for communications and for kind of strategic management of your business. But it is really important now, because in our first phase of crisis comms, people have focused on that operational and functional side of things. But now we just need to take a step back and think, have we missed anybody in our stakeholder communications? What are the relationships that we need to protect? And who are our greatest advocates? So do we know who is talking about us and talking about what we're doing and contributing, and how we and our businesses are handling what's going on around us? Very often employees are the biggest advocates for any business. Often that can extend to contractors, especially if you have a long-term and pretty substantial contractor relationship. I think it's fair to say that almost every crisis situation, contractors get pushed to the bottom of the pile in terms of communication. People leave communication to their direct employers, or just don't absorb them into their overall communications field. But they are talking about you and what you're doing, so make sure that they're brought into the fold as well. The other difference I think that everyone needs to make now is to move forward from that very, very kind of expected and acceptable phase of just broadcasting. We've all been telling everybody what's been happening. We've all been receiving all those broadcast messages about, we're doing this, this is what you need to do. And switch back on the listening. Listening is something that hopefully we're all good at, and we are encouraging our clients to do all the time, but that can get overlooked, especially in the first phase of a crisis. So switch back the listening, and then make sure that you're responding to the people and reflecting back to them what they need to hear from you as a business. So my final point then, and this is I think where mentors can play a really important role for our clients, is to act as a really good objective sensitivity filter. So what I mean by that is how we make sure that we are doing the right things and our clients are doing the right things in their business. We are seeing all around us people making mistakes and making unfortunate decisions that have real consequences in terms of the impact on their businesses or their personal brands. And sometimes when you're in the business, you're in the moment, it's quite hard to be objective. So having a third party who can help you with that can really reap dividends to make sure that you are acting in the appropriate way. So I've given a few examples on screen there of the sort of things that an objective person can do. And essentially, if you can be a critical friend for your client right now, you can help them identify the opportunities and the partnerships and the opportunities for collaboration, but also to understand the risks and to make sure that they're not potentially walking into an environment where they will be criticized and scrutinized by people who are pretty intolerant these days as to people that overstep the line of what's acceptable or not. So that is a really quick, I've never done such a quick run through on the principles of crisis communication. I hope that that's been useful. And does anyone have any questions?
None for me. I think it all makes sense.
Right. Good.
All makes absolute sense to me.
Good. Well, as I said, I hope that's been useful. And if anybody does have any particular client scenarios that they want to get a bit more crisis comms input on, then please just pick up the phone. Don't hesitate. I'm really happy to have a chat and help if I can.
Thank you, Siobhan. And Siobhan, I think you've obviously been to Leeds and run an event for me. And I think we've done a number of webinars in the marketing business that I run. So, you know, I'm a massive advocate of what you do and how you do it. And, you know, absolutely, businesses are going to be forced to make sometimes decisions that they wouldn't ordinarily make right now, just due to, you know, cost or panic or whatever. So it's really, really important that they've got that wise person to chat to, just to sanity check and manage any communications, because you can turn bad into good if you're clever with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fantastic, absolutely.
Thanks.
So yeah, you know, I think, you know, we're in this second phase, as I said earlier, and, you know, what are everybody's thoughts on what we now need to be doing as mentors in this kind of second phase? Now we've got an acceptance that we're going to be locked down for certainly, I would say, another 3, if not another 6 weeks. It's certainly going to be towards the end of May, if not early June, I would have thought. You know, so there's a realization now that this thing's not going to be over within the 2 or 3 weeks that some did. So how are we going to tackle this with our clients over the next month, 2 months? What do we need to be doing as mentors?
Well, one of the things I've been helping with, my clients aren't used to working from home, and all of a sudden they've had to work from home. So if I've actually been giving them tips of what to do and how to make sure they're delineating between home and office space, so they're both not merging and things like that, and they found that really useful, and it sort of reduced some of their overwhelm. And I've got a graphic that was on the internet, some one of the groups I belong to, and it's got the fear zone, learning zone, and growth zone. And it's around COVID, and using that graphic it's been really helpful to them to see which zone they're in, where they want to move to. So I found that's what I've been covering a lot with my mentees this week.
Yeah, so you're basically helping them come to terms with the new environment they're working from, because that, you know, that overwhelm and uncertainty isn't going to help. So if you can be that wise person to just to help them with that transition and get back to business as normal as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I sent some. I sent a list of top 10 tips to Georgina yesterday, and I think she's going to share it with the ABM members on how to manage people remotely, particularly for people who aren't familiar with having remote workers and people working from home. Just sort of know how to manage expectations and trusting them and productivity and stuff like that. So hopefully that will add to your info as well.
And that would be a great tool. Do people think? For, you know, what's your experience from the clients you've been chatting to? Do they consider that they've got a productivity issue? Has it gone down? Has it gone up? Don't they know?
I think a lot of leaders are scared that they just don't know, that they're going to see the consequences of how people are working now in the weeks and months to come. But on a day-to-day basis, even if they think everything's fine, is it really? And I think they're struggling to manage on a remote basis, and particularly identify people that might be a bit more vulnerable and not coping as well, but maybe are hiding it.
The Helen, you've got your hand up.
Well, I agree with that, actually. I mean, I would actually question that we're quite into the second phase yet. I think people have had so much to adjustment to make. I think, you know, people with children to deal with the homeschooling, it's taken.
I think Helen's gone.
I think we've lost the air. The signal didn't look brilliant.
That's a shame.
Well, so it'll reconnect, I think.
Yeah.
He's conscious we've got 5 or 6 minutes left, haven't we?
Yeah, I've got a couple of points to make. Today, hopefully, I'll share with you through Georgina a request or an opportunity, really, given to us by one of our partners called Engagement Multiplier. They've created a online survey to reach out to remote workers in teams to see how they're getting on. It's a free survey. You just have to sign up to the platform, basically. It's all free, complimentary, as one of our members suggests. But it's a good way of gauging how our new remote teams are settling in into their workflow patterns and how they're coping in respect of their mental health and situations they're now finding themselves in. That's the first point. Second point is, quickly, I had a call with the small business minister this morning, Paul Scully, along with about 10 other so-called business leaders. They obviously think I'm important for some reason. But it was a very good call. We went through loads of stuff. And the thing that came out of it the most is that, as Gary said, the loans aren't getting through. The banks are being a bottleneck. The digital landscape infrastructure is poor in remote areas, rural areas, and they're trying to desperately do something about it. And we also spoke about the SEIS scheme and extending the monies available through that. What I do need is that it looks like these calls are going to be weekly. It's only half an hour, but what I really need and what the ABN needs is your help to feed back into them anything our clients saying about their businesses and what they're looking for, not just now, but in the future, once we come out of this. So please, please, please continue to ask your clients and other companies how they can help us help them by feeding into government.
Simon, a couple of great points there. Georgina, can I suggest, if this is within our kind of capabilities, we knock together a really, really quick survey monkey that we send out to the ABM members to say, you know, can you capture what your customers are saying they need right now? Now, whether it's access to quicker funding, better digital skills, whatever it might be, I don't think it'd be a bad thing to send out a quick kind of 8 or 10 question survey so each of the ABM members can capture what their customers are saying and thinking right now.
Yeah, great idea, Gary. We'll take that offline and get something out next week.
Yeah, it's dead easy to pull together, I think. So, fantastic. Anybody got any comments to finish off, any questions to finish off in the couple of minutes we have left? I think we've lost Helen for good.
Yeah, that's a shame. Maybe she can come back to us with her points and... could it be interesting to hear what she would have to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is a difficult one, isn't it? You know, some of us have been homeschooling, albeit we're into Easter holidays now, so that's certainly relaxing our household. So, you know, it's going to be really tough, isn't it? Balancing running a business, challenging kind of costs and revenue issues. You know, we've all got costs at home that we've got to manage better. Then we've got to juggle kids and shops and all the rest of it. So, you know, it is going to be a tough month or 6 weeks for us to navigate through.
I feel like Helen's left us with an EastEnders cliffhanger till next week.
Should have played the music, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Mabel return, because we all want to hear what she had to say.
I'll definitely be here next week.
She did it on purpose.
She might be back.
She did it on purpose, absolutely.
You know, Arnie impersonation. I will be back. Yeah.
And look, you know, I think from my point of view, you know, the amount of webinars that are available now, whether it be people that were doing webinars before, whether it's people that have jumped on the bandwagon, you know, there's tons and tons and tons of opportunities to learn and develop in the current climate. So if you've got the time and you've got the inclination, you know, in a little half an hour chunks, you know, use that time wisely.
Hey, Helen's back. Hi, Helen. We thought you were leaving us a cliffhanger for next week.
I was just unmute myself. I had a complete power cut. God knows why. Just the whole thing went down.
Oh dear.
And unusual. Yeah, sorry about that. Lost my thread, but
no worries.
A couple of things that I would say is I particularly relate to what you said about collaboration. What I'm doing is working with some associate trainers and business associates, and I'm adapting training sessions, you know, the workshop slides, into mini bite-sized chunks of sort of advice, tips that I'm putting out there at the moment with my people, because I am finding that, in fact, I've been surprised at how many people are really struggling to adapt to work from home. And I think, yeah, I was saying that I still think we're struggling to come to the end of the first phase in some cases. I had a client phone me just yesterday, and their business is in very selective headhunting, if you like. So it's still going on, but they're all working from home, and there's a couple of the executive team members just really struggling to adapt to work from home. So I'm putting things together to be adaptable and flexible at the moment.
Ah, fantastic.
Thanks, Helen.
Look, I think that brings us to 11:30. So, you know, hopefully this morning's session's brought some insight and some food for thought for many of us. Certainly understanding what our customers' needs and challenges are that we can support them with as a mentor, and we can, you know, with Simon, go back to some of the powers that be to change the way of thinking from government level. But yeah, thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for your input, your support. Siobhan, thanks for those slides and that insight on the crisis comms. That's been a great value. And we'll see those of you that join us next week.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gary.
Take care.
Thanks, you all.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.